John, the second epistle of John, way near the back of the New Testament. I have to say it's wonderful to see you all here this morning and to hear the singing this morning with a full church. You're all welcome back next week. Please feel free to come back again. The second letter of John, we'll be reading the 13 verses of this chapter. 2 John, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, and those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning we had the great privilege of ordaining to the office of the eldership two men in our congregation. And it's common on Ordination Sunday to look at a text like Titus chapter 1 or 1 Timothy chapter 3, which lays out the requirements for the eldership, and go through those. However, I found that doing that tends to make me feel guilty because I'm not living up to the standard, and tends to make the new elders feel guilty because God's standards are so high for the eldership. We trust God has endowed these men with those particular characteristics. This morning, rather than looking at one of those texts, we're going to look at a letter written by an elder. Because when we write, we tend to write what's important to us. We tend to write what's on our hearts. For example, Dort students, you may get letters from mom and dad this coming semester. It'll start something like, I hope you're studying hard. I hope you're eating your vegetables. I hope you're studying hard. I hope you're getting enough sleep. I hope you're studying hard. I hope you're making good friends. And by the way, I hope you're studying hard. Okay? We tend to write what's important to us. Of course, parents, your kids will scribble a note on the back of a tuition statement, send cash. We tend to write what's important to us. This morning, we look at the letter of an elder. He speaks from his heart. And by looking at the letter, we see what the role of the elder is, what is important to him that he fulfill his ministry well, and also how we should respond to that ministry. How are we to receive the elders? This morning we looked at a letter from an elder. And we notice, as is characteristic with the epistles of John, John speaks about love. An elder loves the church. He starts out, the elder, referring to himself, children, the elder, to the elect lady. Now, who is this elect lady? John is not writing to a particular woman in the church. He's not writing to a special friend of his. When he uses the term elect lady, chosen lady, he is writing to the church. And yet he uses it as a husband might speak of his wife, to the chosen one. He loves the church like a husband loves a wife. The elder to the elect lady and her children. Who are those children? The children are the members of the church. John is saying, I write you as a corporate body, and I write you as individuals, from the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love. Elders are called to love the church. To love the church corporately as a body, to love the church as individuals. Elders, you are called to have that type of relationship, a love so deep, a love like a husband for a wife, a love like a parent for a child, to care, to be concerned, to have their best interests in mind. Elders, it is a love that will drive you to your knees before God's throne of grace. You will love God's people so much that you will continually bring them before God in prayer. And I can assure you, the elders pray for the church. The elders spend time in private prayer for the church. The elders spend time in corporate prayer for the church. When we meet together as elders, we pray for you. That's one of the blessings of belonging to the church. The elders are praying for you because they love you so much. Now, next week probably, or perhaps the week following, there will be some announcements in the bulletin and some forms in the back about becoming a student member of our church. And we encourage Dort students to fill out that easy form and become student members. And you say, well, why should we do that? Well, one of the reasons is not just because you get your name on a list, but because the elders will pray particularly for you. Now, maybe in the past we have undervalued what being a student member means, maybe because we undervalue the prayer of the elders. But what a blessing. What a blessing to know that God's chosen men love you so much that they will spend time in prayer for you. It's important to be a member of the church, to be along with the elect lady, one of her children. Now, as church, knowing that the elders are called to love us, it is our task to be lovable. Now, parents, I know you love your kids. I know you always love your kids. But let's be honest. Sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes when you're looking at your watch and it's after curfew, it's not easy to love your kids. Sometimes they do things, they make choices that are hard on us. It's hard to love them. As the people of God, our calling is to do all we can to make ourselves lovable, that the elders might have an easy task of praying for us, an easy task of embracing us in love. God has given us elders, that they will love us, and our response to God is to live a life that is lovable. The elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. We are to love as elders in the truth. Four times in these first three verses, John mentions truth. We sometimes tend to drive a wedge between love and truth. As if I can love you or I can tell you the truth. But they are wed together. We must find that perfect balance of truth and love in our dealings with each other. Love without truth is empty emotionalism. Truth without love is dry dogma. We are called to love in the truth. A love which is bounded by the truth. A love which is founded on the truth of God's Word. The truth of what God has done. The truth of Jesus Christ. That's where the bond of our love comes from. Being bound together by a common confession of the truth of God. This morning, the elders signed the form of subscription, promising to uphold that truth. They do that for you, that you might be secure in your love, that you might be secure in the truth. Love not founded on truth is not true love. Love founded on a lie does not build up. And we must not forget that we do not increase our love by decreasing the truth. We do not increase our love by decreasing the truth. There is a tendency nowadays to downplay truth, to downplay doctrine, to downplay our history. We do not show love to people when we do that. When we neglect the blessings God has given to us throughout the ages, we do not increase love by diminishing truth. Rather, truth abides, and so then love abides. The elder to the elect lady, her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Elders love the church in the truth. Now, what are the elders called to do? What is his work? Well, two basic things John writes in this letter. And he's going to write the two things that are important to him. We write what's important in our letters. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. The elders are going to help us in our walk of love. The elders are going to help us in our embracing the truth by teaching us. That's the first thing elders do. Children, elders teach. And that happens not only in formal settings, in Sunday school or catechism, but in informal settings as well. Around the kitchen table, visiting in the living room, visiting over coffee at Casey's, stopping by in the field. The elders will teach us the truth because they themselves love the truth. An elder himself must love the truth and embrace it with all of his life. That's a high calling, elders. To love the truth of God, to be instructed in the truth of God, and to embrace that as your truth, as that which you will stand by, as that which you know abides, the truth of the Word of God. The elder himself must know the truth and live the truth. I am writing to you a new commandment, but not a new one, that we love one another. The first and greatest commandment, love God above all. The second commandment, love our neighbor as ourselves. Commanded to love. The elders will know that truth and live that truth out in their own lives. And as they themselves are instructed from God's Word, then they will help us. They will help us to know the truth, to walk in obedience, and to live the truth. In every part of our life. Not only in our devotional life, but in our relationship life. In our relationship with our parents as we maybe go to a new phase of our life. Leaving the home, going off to college. Maybe going on to high school. Maybe going on to junior high. Maybe starting school this fall. As relationships change, the elders will help us to express love in the proper ways. In our work life. In how we go to the field. In how we go to the office. In our recreational life, what do we do in our time off? The elders will instruct us on how to love God in those times. And in our educational life, in the choices that we make for how we're going to be instructed, whether that be instructed in the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, coming to a place where the gospel is preached, where the truth of God is held high, or the instruction we get throughout the week, the schooling that we choose there. The elders will help us to walk in obedience, teaching us the commands of God. Not a new commandment, but a commandment that we've already known, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. The elders teach. That's their first great duty. The second duty, which is explained for us here in John's letter, that which is important to him, the elders not only teach positive truth, but the elders warn against deception. Verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Watch yourselves. The elders come to warn, because they love you enough to protect you. They want to keep you safe. The elders warn against those who would deny the fundamental truths of the faith. He says, some have gone out who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver, such a one is the antichrist. A fundamental pillar of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came as the Son of God incarnate. Some deny that. They will not confess it. And the elders will warn you. Will warn you to stay away. They will warn you to hold fast to the truths of the faith. Hold fast to what you've been taught in your homes being brought up. Hold fast to God and to His glorious Word. They will warn you from ideas that will take you away from that. They will warn you of things that will lead you in the wrong direction, in the way of the deceivers, in the way of the Antichrist. John says, many deceivers have gone to the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. It was a heresy that was going on at the time. It's a heresy that's still around today. Now notice what it says. It doesn't say the deceivers do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ. It says they do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. It is not the obvious heresy that we have to be warned about. If someone comes to you and says, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, even our children know that's wrong. Our children know I shouldn't believe that. But when people come saying, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, of course I believe in Him. Everybody knows about Jesus. Read the Bible. He's right there. And then you begin to ask, well, what do you believe about Jesus? Oh, He was a great teacher. He was a wonderful prophet. He was a good example. See, I've got my WWJD right here. And they don't confess the Jesus of the Bible. They don't confess the God who became incarnate, who came in the flesh. Oh, they like Jesus as long as He's a historical figure. But when you say He is the Son of God who came to save people from their sins, oh no, I don't believe in that Jesus. Sins? I'm a pretty good guy. Not always, some of the time, but pretty good. I'm a pretty good guy. What are you talking about sins for? It's the subtle heresy. It's those who use all the right words, all the right phrases, all the right language, but mean something completely different. Those the elders will warn us about. The grand heretics we can spot. The subtle ones, the elders, because of their love for you, will warn you. The elders, because of their love for the gospel, that gospel not be hindered, that gospel not be darkened, but that every Lord's Day that gospel be proclaimed again, Jesus Christ, a sinner's Savior. They will warn you. They will reject any heresies against that fundamental but sometimes subtly changed truth. We heard that in the form of subscription too. They will protect the truth, warning us against error. They will warn us against those who say that we need more than the Scriptures to know about God and His will for our lives. Verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Now, when he says goes on ahead, he's referring to those who say you need something beyond, something more. You need something beyond God's Word as an interpretive key to understand it. Now, we have talked before that there are certain interpretive keys to fully understand the Word of God. The key of the covenant is that which finds itself weaving its way through Scripture, helps us to understand the glory of God's Word. The key of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, that is a key which helps us to understand better the Word of God. The key of the history of redemption, how God has worked His way out in His people's lives to the coming of Jesus Christ and on to today. What he's talking about, those who go ahead, those who go beyond, find the interpretive key outside of Scripture, rather than abiding in the teaching of Christ. Those who go beyond. Those who say, if you really want to understand God's Word, then you need to read this book. This will help you. I'm thinking of books like numerology in the Scriptures. Oh, there's a secret code in the Word of God. And if only you read this book, you'll really have the understanding. You'll really have the Word of God. The elders warn us against that. Against any interpretive key outside of God's Word. Rather, they tell us to abide in the teaching of Christ. Anyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Abiding in the teaching of the Word of God. Faith is abiding, not going beyond. Faith is embracing that wonderful, glorious, fundamental truth of Scripture. That Jesus Christ came sinners to save. God sent His Son in the fullness of time. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies His people for God's glory and for their benefit. That was the genius, the beauty of the Reformation. The Reformation was not a movement ahead. It was not going beyond. It was a return to abiding in the truth. It was a return to abiding in the truth given to us in God's Word. It was not moving beyond something. It was going back to the truth, central to the gospel, central to the Scripture. It is that same truth that by God's grace you will hear expounded in this church from the pulpit and in our teaching and in our pastoral care as long as you're here. The truth of the Word of God. Not to go beyond, not to run ahead, but to abide in Jesus Christ and His Word. John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Don't encourage deception. He speaks here about not receiving them into your house. Now, this text has been misunderstood sometimes. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive them into your house. As if someone disagrees with us, we cannot talk with them. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that we as individual Christians cannot have discussions together to help us understand different points of doctrine. That's not what it's saying. It's referring not to those, first of all, who simply have read a particular belief, but those who are teaching a particular belief. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the intent is these are the teachers, these are the instructors. Those who've simply been misled by a charismatic speaker, we should be talking to them. We should be visiting with them. We should be setting them straight on the truth of God. But for the teachers, he says, for those who do not come with this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Remember, he's using house here as a picture of the church. To the elect lady, to the children, to the household, the church. We will not receive false teachers in our church to instruct us. And that's what elders do too. Kids, the elders guard the pulpit. They make sure that what you are hearing is the Word of God. They make sure that what you are hearing is the truth. Whether I am here or whether someone else is here, the elders guard the pulpit. They will not welcome into our teaching, into our house, any who don't embrace this glorious vision of the faith, the glories of the gospel, the glories of Jesus Christ. Elders will love you enough to make sure that you are instructed in the Word of God. Now, very quickly, what's the manner of the elders' work? Verse 12. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, that our joy may be complete. A number of years ago, there was a concern about the age of the television congregation. TV ministers who would do their preaching on the television, and you could stay home on Sunday morning, you could stay home on Sunday evening in your own living room and turn on the television, and there was the TV preacher. It was television congregation. Maybe we should update that now to our concern about the virtual church. The church comes to us over the internet. You don't even have to get out of your pajamas. You can sit with your laptop and click on the thing and the sermons come to you. The virtual congregation. That's not God's intention for the church. The church is personal. The church is face to face. And the elders do their work personal and face to face. Kids, the elders still make house calls. Now, I bet most of you don't even know what a house call is. Doctors, unbelievable when I think about this. Doctors, when you were sick, you called the doctor and he came to you. I remember the Brady Bunch episode when they called the doctor, he came to the house. The doctors made house calls. Try that today. Call the doctor. Hey, I'm not feeling good. Would you come by and take a look? Click. That's all you're going to get. Elders still make house calls. Elders will love you, will care about you, will be concerned for you, that when you call, they will not hang up the phone, but they will come and they will visit. They will do their work face to face. We do that when you as congregation call the elders to you. We do that through our ongoing practice of family visiting. When we come to your home and visit with you about spiritual things. And that too, if I can mention it quickly, is one of the blessings of student membership. Students, don't let this intimidate you. You can ask those who were here last year, but in the spring sometime, we will have a family visit with you. Oh, it's a shortened form. We meet together for 15 minutes or so. But just to touch base. See how you're doing. Do you have concerns? Are there things we can pray for more knowledgeably? We will love you enough, students, to come to you, to meet with you, to pray with you face to face. The elder does his work personally that our joy may be complete. Our joy in what God has done to provide for His church. God loves us so much. God is so concerned for us that He did not leave us alone on the earth. But He gave us office bearers. He gave us elders to be the wisdom of Christ, to be the hands of Christ, to be the mouth of Christ in our midst, that they might touch us in the name of Christ. Oh, people of God, this is a day of joy. A day of joy for the elders as they have been called to this wonderful task. A day of joy for us as a congregation. that God has continued to show His blessing to us, to encourage us to walk according to the commandment to love one another, to love God above all, to love our neighbor as ourselves. The blessings of God to His people. Let's pray together.